Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hey, Steph.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
Welcome.
Ready to chat.
I know. Welcome to another episode of Bariatric Banter Podcast.
I love it.
I can't think of what number this is, but you'll all know. It's number insert here. We are coming at you with a very special two-part episode this week. So this is going to be part one of what we think is actually a really cool two-part series that we're doing. So there's been a lot of discussion, especially in the bariatric community recently, about GLP-1s. Wegovy, yes. Mounjaro, Ozempic. I'm just going to refer to all of them as GLP-1 because I'm not going to remember how to pronounce those names.
Too many.
And so we wanted to, A, talk about our thoughts and feelings on them and maybe kind of put some of our misconceptions and concerns out into the open, because next episode, we're going to have a guest on who actually is on GLP-1s, and we're going to be able to ask her all of our questions, our myths, our misconceptions. We're going to actually be able to speak to what led her to do this. What does she like? What doesn't she like? Does she recommend it? So we're very excited to bring you part one, where Steph and I are going to talk through what we know about it. And, you know, some of them are probably misconceptions. We probably don't know everything about GLP-1s because we're not on them, but we get asked a lot about, oh, it's very similar to bariatric surgery, right? And you must know a lot about that, and you're going to go on it, right? Because a ton of bariatric influencers have started taking it. And we will put an asterisk right at the start of this episode. Do it. We have absolutely no problem with
100%.
People doing it. We don't think there's anything to be shamed about by taking it. We support it. But we want to talk through the questions that we both have about it, some of the concerns we have about it. But we think it's great if you want to be on it. And then next week, we'll have an expert who's on it come hopefully help answer some of those questions and concerns we have.
Yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to, right? It's just questions, concerns, things we've heard, things we've seen. Like you said, there's no judgment. To anyone who's on it, I'll be very honest. It's not something that I think I will ever do. I have my own reasons why. I have my own history. But again, that doesn't mean I judge anybody who does it. If it works for you and it's what you want to do, you go right ahead. Do I have my concerns on it? Yep. Do I have my own personal feelings on it? Yep. But if it works for you and it fits into your lifestyle, that's great. I just think, kind of as you alluded to, I just think there's some misconceptions. I think there's some maybe lack of preparation on some people's parts who maybe are jumping into it, I don't say with the wrong reasons, but maybe too quickly or without thinking the entire process through. Similar, no different than some people who do bariatric surgery, right? We've talked about it where they think it's the magic pill or the easy way out. I think the same can kind of be said for the GLP-1s as well. And I think that's kind of where we're headed.
Yeah. And I think I'm open to taking them. I, you know, don't think I could actually inject myself every day, but I think you'd get over it pretty quick. But I've had a lot of people, both personal and professional, ask my thoughts and opinions on taking GLP-1.
Yes.
You've heard me say a few times, I've seen a rise of bariatric influencers on GLP-1, which we don't care.
Gosh.
My large concern is I do believe you owe the public a disclosure that you're on it, especially if you're an influencer who promotes yourself as a bariatric influencer. It's not okay to hide that you're on a GLP-1, because now you're making people believe that this is what eating looks like after bariatric surgery, and it's not. So if
or
you
that
are
your success
on it,
is coming soon from
surgery,
which
and you're setting unrealistic examples. So that's where I have a bit of an issue. If you're going to be on it and you're an influencer, not just an average everyday person, then yep. I do think you owe the public disclosure that you're on it, because you're kind of falsely misrepresenting bariatric surgery. So that's yeah. one little issue I have with GLP-1s. And then the other kind of issue I have, mm-hmm. and please call me out on this, listeners, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I hate when people say bariatric surgery is the easy way out. And you all know why. The immense amount of work that we need to put into this. This is not easy. And yeah. I hate what I'm about to say. But I don't like people comparing GLP-1s to bariatric surgery in any way.
They're vastly different.
Not the same journey. And I'm not trying to diminish that there yeah. is an effort that goes into taking GLP-1s. And I'm not trying to do what everyone does to bariatric surgery and call it the easy way out. However, it is not bariatric surgery. We are not the same
no.
person.
No.
We have similarities. But in no way is this the same journey or experience, or I hate to say it, level of work that bariatric surgery is. So don't compare the two. And okay, here's how I'll describe. Having a kid and having a dog are not the same thing. So please don't pretend that raising yeah. a puppy is just as hard as raising a child. It's kind of insulting to parents. So
the process is
Ozempic is
the process is vastly different. From day one, vastly different process, vastly different, requirements, vastly different processes to get, into bariatric surgery, to have the surgery versus getting a GLP-1. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there's not people who are taking GLP-1s that are working out, that are tracking their food, that are busting their butt. But what we're seeing is a rise of people who are, I don't want to say not taking it seriously, but who are just, well, I'll just take a GLP-1 and that'll solve my problem. And that's what we're seeing a rise in. And that's what I think is concerning, is that there's no, we talked about it for the bariatric surgery. For us, we have the pre-op program, and we have to work with a dietitian, and we have to work with a social worker, and we have to work with a nurse practitioner, and we have to go through all the mental side of everything and learning about proper eating and tracking your food and how to, like, there's so much that goes into that process. And for getting your GLP-1, you have blood work, you have doctors, and there are certain requirements you have to hit for most people. I know in different countries and stuff it's different, but there are typically requirements you have to hit. But there's nobody guiding you through the rest of the process. There's no dietitian helping you along the way. There's nobody nope. helping you with the mental shift. And we're just seeing a rise of people who are taking the GLP-1 and then just not eating, not tracking food, not eating. And then, of course, you're losing weight. Of course, you're going to lose weight. But it's not sustainable.
No.
And it's not healthy. So, like Hannah said, there's no judgment around GLP-1s, people taking it.
No,
the
take it.
Thing that kind of scares us, having gone through this year-long pre-op program, is the lack of education or the lack of resources that a lot of these people on GLP-1s are going into it like blind and just thinking, well, I'll just take the GLP-1 and I'll lose weight. But there's so much more to it that's
so
missing.
So much more to it. And you're kind of nailing where I get a little heated. So again, I'm not trying to say easy way out, because nothing ever is. There is work for anything you do. This is why I don't like it being compared to bariatric surgery, because this is not in any way the same journey or the same beast. I have very large concerns that people are able to just get on this medication with like virtual consults. So now I know technically there are people who've gone through their doctor, and I love it, because like if you have a great family doctor that's going to support you on this journey, that's awesome. But there are people who circumnavigate that and just do online assessments. Like back in the day before weed was legal and everybody got to do an online consultation to get a license to buy marijuana, and it was like kind of a doctor, but not really a doctor. You can do this in Canada. There's a few websites where you can just do a virtual consultation where they'll just ask you very basic questions about your health and then be like, you're approved. Here's your injection. Start at this. Very large concerns about that, because these are people taking it for weight loss specifically who have no dietitian, no therapist, probably aren't using their primary care doctor, or even if they are, aren't checking in with them like weekly, who've had no training, no schooling, no nothing on eating, overcoming emotional eating, dealing with the demons that led you to be overweight, and are now injecting themselves with a weight loss drug with no support system except for Reddit and Instagram and TikTok, who are seeing all these people now not eating. Because I've actually had a friend reach out who was like, I'm thinking of going on it. And I'm really supportive of that. I think it's a great idea if you do it properly with your healthcare provider. And then like 2 days...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Later was like, oh my goodness, I know someone who's on it and they basically don't eat anything. And I was like, yeah, I hate to be that guy, but don't look up on social media, because everyone on social media, not everyone, but vast majority, they're not eating. There are famous bariatric influencers, two of them who are incredibly famous. One who I think most of you probably follow, who is on a GLP-1 because she has regained some weight recently, I think like 30 pounds in a short period of time. I have very, very, very big concerns about the fact that she posts barely eating anything. People have called her out.
What I eat in a day is like nothing.
It's disturbing. She's posted and people have called out, this is all liquid, you barely ate anything. And we're talking like woke up, had a protein coffee, not even a big one, and then had a few bites of some leftovers and then went 6.5 hours with no food.
Nothing.
To eat a Built Bar and then eat a little bit of cottage cheese with some meat. And that's it. Called it a day. But it's like super happy because they've lost over 30 pounds. And here we go. This is my big concern, because in surgery, we learned you have to eat small meals a day and you have to learn how to eat. You have to have a good, healthy relationship with food. You need food. And it's not sustainable. If that is your relationship with food on Ozempic, you'll never be able to come off of it. And it's not healthy. You really shouldn't just be not eating. Bodies cannot survive on one meal a day. And I am very, very, very troubled by how many GLP-1 people on social aren't eating and thinking that's totally normal.
I was talking to somebody who was on it and they were like, yeah, you know, like I ate twice today. I was like, that's not enough. And it's this counterintuitive misconception of, well, if I want to lose weight, I just don't eat. Well, no, that's actually extremely bad for you. Not eating is the opposite of what you want to do. You want to eat and fuel your body. And so trying to talk to this individual and say, hey, like you still need to be eating 5 to 6 times a day. But similar to us, like smaller portions, more consistent, keeping that satiation consistent throughout the day, instead of trying to cram this big meal in, and then you're so hungry that, like you said, then you go 6 hours with no food, and that becomes a problem, because if you put your body into that habit of not eating, you're going to lose weight. You're going to think that you're being successful. But what happens when you go off of the medication?
Mm-hmm. You can't come off of it.
And the hunger, right. You either have to stay on it forever or you're going to come off the medication. The hunger cues are going to come back. And you haven't built those habits during the however long you've been on the medication. You haven't built those habits in. So what's going to happen is you're going to go back to your old habits. You're going to be starving. You're going to be hungry. The hunger cues are going to come back. The food noise is going to come back. And you're just going to eat and eat. So like being on a GLP-1 is fine, but you still have to eat properly, eat enough, follow good, I don't want to say diet because I don't like the word diet, but follow a good diet, good food guidelines.
Yeah.
You can't just say, I'm going to take a GLP-1 because then I'm not going to eat and I'm going to lose 100 pounds.
And that's great.
Yeah, you are, but that's not healthy.
Do you know what's going to come from that? So we're not trying to scare people, but here's the thing. When you jump on a GLP-1 and you don't have all the info and you don't have someone to check in with every week and you don't have a therapist and a dietitian, you maybe aren't being told the full picture. pancreatitis, while not an epidemic, is very high among people who take GLP-1s. There's a really incredible Reddit channel of healthcare providers. I think it's called like Nurses in Action or something like that, where it's doctors and nurses and they get to just share and talk about things. And somebody put up a post about, let's talk about GLP-1s. And overwhelmingly, the nurses were like, God, I wish people would tell them that pancreatitis is a huge problem, or twisted bowels, like that becomes a really big, compacted bowels becomes a big one because you're barely eating. Everything is becoming compacted and hard in there. And like, you don't really want a doctor to have to go up in your poop chute and pull it out. Cause I don't, but the pancreatitis, it's becoming a big, big, big problem with a lot of people jumping on GLP-1 and then not following proper protocol on it. And if you don't know, when your pancreas becomes infected and inflamed, they don't take it out, but I think they have to remove a portion of it or do something. That then leads to you being a diabetic. There is no way around that. If it's severe enough that you have to go to the hospital, you come out as a diabetic because now you can't produce insulin the way you need to. So there are very real ramifications from not eating and from just thinking that all you have to do is drink liquid. Vitamin deficiency kills bariatric patients. And I hate to bring this person up again because they've been brought up in a lot of podcasts, but Big Chris, look her up, was a very popular bariatric influencer who notoriously did not take her vitamins and did not eat the diet she was supposed to and wasn't really eating, and documented her journey in the hospital and took full accountability for what happened. Her organs started to shut down and she passed away. When you vitamin deficiency doesn't just happen overnight. It takes months to happen, but it can take years to come back from that. We're not talking like my vitamin D is low, because that happens to a lot of us. We're talking you're deficient. And before surgery, I was deficient in vitamin D. It kind of explains a lot of like why I had such high anxiety and I was having a really hard Christmas and I was depressed. Like I just did not feel like myself. My vitamin D was just in the garbage. I had to go on 4.5 months.
You went the opposite way.
Yeah. I had to go on 4.5 months of 10,000 IU a day, well over the
which is crazy.
Under medical supervision, I was taking over 70,000 IU a week. And it took 4.5 months to get to low normal, like didn't push me through the roof, got me to a level where I was allowed to have surgery. I'm now, since then, I'm great. And I do supplement vitamin D and I'm back at a normal vitamin D level. But vitamin deficiency takes a really long time to hit and then an even longer time to correct. And you can't cause permanent vitamin deficiency.
No, it causes permanent damage, long-term side effects. That's why we always say, guys, there's guidelines, like in our program especially, that there's guidelines for a reason. It's not there to be a pain. It's not there to make your life annoying. It's not there because we all want to take 8-9 supplements a day. It's there for a reason. And so I think I wish there was more guidance for people who are on GLP-1s, because we know there's people who are on it for the right reasons. We know there's people who are doing it the right way, who are watching their food, who are making healthier choices, who are exercising. They're using it like we are using surgery as a tool.
A tool.
But we also know a tool. We also know there's people who are seeing the rise in GLP-1s and thinking, well, shit, if all I have to do is inject myself once a week and I can lose weight and not eat, perfect.
Easy.
And that, that's the concern, right? So how do we try to mitigate that?
They're looking for the easier way out. Yep. And I think you're right. The amount of people that, and I don't use that word lightly because I know that that's such a hypocritical thing to say, but the ones that are looking for the easy way out are the ones doing it for looks. And I remember when I entered this bariatric program, the social worker asked, like, why are you doing this? And even my therapist asked, why are you doing this?
Every call. What's your why?
Like, we don't want to hear it's because you want to be skinny or that this is all about looks. And even my therapist was like, I don't want to hear you say, well, I want to be healthier. She's like, that, like everybody says the same generic shit. She's like, what do you want to achieve after this? And that's how we built my bucket list of, I want to ride a horse. I want to travel without blah, blah, blah. Like, and when we started piecing it together, she said, do you see how none of this has to do with your looks? Not once did you say, well, I want to look, you know, like this or look like that. Like you want to get married. You want to find a husband. You want like, you know, big, big goals. But in the program, they ask the same thing and they don't want to hear someone be like, well, I need to look hot. Like I need to look skinny. I need to be
skinny. I want to be size 10. I want to,
That's and not, I've had people.
Those answers aren't allowed.
No. And I've had people, and so has Steph, reach out to us being like, I want to look like you. So I'm going to taking Ozempic. And I'm like, okay, so just my looks should not be the reason to do this. Like,
I literally had a conversation this week with somebody who was like, oh my gosh, you're wearing smaller clothes than I am now. I want to look just like you. I have an appointment at the doctor to talk about GLP-1s. And I was like, first of all, I'm not taking a GLP-1. Second of all, this has taken a lot of time to get to this point. Third of all, just because I'm wearing a size small, and I know for a fact, there's somebody I talked to the other day that made a comment like this. I know for a fact that I, numbers wise, I weigh more than them. I know for a fact I weigh more than them. But I'm taller than they are. They are shorter than me. So yes, the sizes are one thing, but our weights are different. It's like you cannot compare what you're seeing. Because
like you and I are different, like different heights. So you probably will be a different size than me, but standing side by side, we're going to look the same size. But like you will get, you're taller than me. There's like, you'll probably be six and I'll be an eight and that's fine. I'm short.
Yeah. Like your weight's going to be different. Your size are going to be different. Everything's going to be different. And I remember listening to a podcast a while ago and it was from the Your Way weight loss ladies that who got me hooked on this, the red pepper dip. And I remember them saying about how she used to look at people and say, I wish I was them. I wish I had their life. I wish I looked like them. But what you always have to remember is you don't know what went into that. And you don't know why they look that way. Do they look that way because they had an eating disorder that they're trying to overcome? Did they look that way because they'd been putting 4 years of hard-ass work into, like, you don't know. So you don't want to say, I wish I looked like you or I wish I was your size because you don't know the implications of that and you don't know what it took to get there. You have to say your goals.
I do get it. Because I always wanted to be skinny and I would say I always want to be, I wanted to be skinny and I wanted to look good. But I think the thing you should want is to, I want to look as good as, as you, you know, like as in, you smile more and you look healthy and you like.
Your goal should be, I want to feel like that. I want to have. Like
yeah.
Yes. I want to have that confidence. I want to have that smile. I want to have that joy. That's what you should be looking for. Not I want to weigh what she weighs.
My problem too with this is I think in Canada, there needs to be a program that you go into. And I think the program, because it's similar to bariatric surgery, we did say there's no qualifications to get in. However, your doctor likely will say something like, I've seen you try. I've seen that you've been putting the effort in. And that's what mine said. It's been a year. You've been with a dietitian and you have a personal trainer and you've been in and out of here. And I've seen that you have tried. And he said, you have a lot stacked against you. And I think surgery is your best option. That's what I'd like to see from people that want to take it as well. And I mean this nicely, but like even just for 2 weeks, can you make a meal plan, stick with it and start exercising? Because a lot of the people, and it's not all of them, I have wonderful humans that I'm encouraging to take this because I've seen the hard work they've put in. And I know that this paired with their hard work will be exceptional for them. But then I also see the people who don't walk, don't exercise, eat like shit, who kind of think like, well, I'm just going to go grab this and it's going to fix everything I've done. And I know people feel the same about me being like, fuck you, Hannah, you were super obese and you did dumb shit and ate like crap and you took the easy way out. Sure, it's easy to look at me and say that, but I went through a year program where I had to stop drinking, stop eating certain things. If you were smoking weed or cigarettes, you had to give those up. I had to go through intense blood testing every 3 months. I had to speak with social workers. I had to prove that I could stick to a diet. And then I also had to have my doctor say, like, she has tried. She can do this.
But actually, you you don't know what somebody's put into, what they put into or what got them there. And I know, like, we try and show things on social media, but I'll be honest, like, yeah, we show some hard stuff, but we probably don't show.
We don't.
Like a lot of people out there, we don't show our entire life. We don't show everything, right? We try to be real and genuine and honest. But guys, there's a lot of shit that you don't see that goes on. There's a lot of hard-ass days and hard-ass times. And like Hannah said, the amount of stuff we have gone through to get here. And yeah, we've made stupid choices. Yeah, we've eaten like shit. Yeah, we let ourselves go. Yeah, we didn't look after ourselves. Yeah, we've made mistakes. And I guarantee there's people judging both of us, left, right, and center. Yep. And that's all the time. Yep. But we know we're putting in the work. Yep. We know we're doing what needs to be done. And like, there's days I messaged Hannah the other day and I was like, man, I was a bad bariatric patient today. Like, I did not eat enough. Yeah. Like, I did not eat enough. I did not pack for being on the road. I was not prepared. Mm-hmm. I didn't hit my hydration. Like, it happens. But I think the key is what Hannah said is when used as a tool, same as surgery. And again, they're not the same thing, but they have that same underlying notion. When used as a tool in conjunction with eating better, eating healthier, moving your body, it can be phenomenal. And I have seen so many people benefit from it. I have family members who are on it, and that's phenomenal. Yep. But it's a tool. It's a tool.
It is
not a magic fix. And that's where I worry about people is the people who you see who are using it as a magic fix, they're losing all this weight. They think they're doing so great and then they're going to stop taking it. And what's going to happen? And I don't want to see them fail. I don't want to see them just go back to the way they were. So maybe they'll stay on it forever. That's one of my questions, right? And that's one of my things as to why I'm so hesitant for GLP-1s is, so for anyone who doesn't know, my husband and I did a couple years of fertility treatments back years ago. And part of that was injections. And I have long-term side effects from those injections that were never told to me, never explained to me, were not made clear, that only came out years later. And so that's where my personal concerns with GLP-1s are, is I don't feel there's enough research around the long-term effects or around what happens when you stop it. So for me, that's my thing. And that's my thing. That doesn't mean I don't think anyone else should take it. Like I said, you do you. What works for you? Phenomenal. But that's where my concerns are. And that's where I always worry when I see certain people who are kind of taking it and throwing caution to the wind. If you don't have those habits built in place, when you stop taking the medication, what happens? Those are my questions.
We
right?
know
and that's why I'm excited to... Yeah. And that's why I'm excited next week to talk to someone we have coming on who's on a GLP-1.
Yeah.
Because to be totally honest, I've never had that discussion with my doctor because GLP-1s was just never something that was on my radar. Yep. So I'm curious around like, what were her discussions like with her doctor? What was what information was given to her? I'm curious for that side of things.
Yeah. And I know that people, you know, do go into maintenance mode and are able to maintain, and I know that it's the same as bariatric surgery. We will all have a bit of regain. They've told us you'll go low and then you'll come up a little bit. That is normal. But I know that the statistics out there say that, like, well, you're only going to gain like 30% back or I don't understand how that's possible, because the GLP-1 doesn't burn fat. It doesn't go into your system and completely suck the fat out of you. It suppresses your appetite, and that is what causes you to lose weight. So I genuinely don't understand how you're going to come off the GLP-1 and not put the weight back on, because you cannot survive on one meal a day. And that's where I'm having a lot of issues is, and people are saying it, I think it is the right label, this seems like a lot of eating disorders. And it is, because you were obese, you were on this because you want to be thin, you're way too scared to eat enough food while doing this. And like, that's dangerous. Like, you need to be on a GLP-1 and setting alarms or setting reminders that, like, I know you're trying to lose weight, but you still have to eat. Like, you can't just not eat and be like, there we go.
So counterintuitive. And I said that to somebody today. I was like, I know the thought process is eat less, lose weight. And I know it's counterintuitive, but you have to make sure you're eating. And I said to them, like, you got to be eating six times a day. small throughout the day, keep it consistent. Yeah. And I said the same thing. I said, hydration is still my big struggle every day. I set a timer on my watch and on my phone. It just went off every 15 minutes. It says water reminder. So you do what you got to do. But I had that exact conversation today is I know you think you're doing good by not eating because we're always told eat less, eat less, eat less. But you need to make sure you're eating enough to fuel your body, to hit your nutrients and to be healthy. There's a difference between eating enough to fuel yourself and be in a healthy spot than eating 3,000 calories a day, right? We're not saying you should be eating like you used to eat, but we're saying you still need to eat.
Yeah. That's and the thing is, like, there hasn't been enough studies on your muscle loss as well. Like, that's a huge thing for bariatric patients, which is why we have strength training and why we eat such super high protein meals. There have not been enough studies on GLP-1 and your muscle wasting. And if anything, that should be the most terrifying part. You don't want your muscle density to drop.
No.
And you don't want to lose muscles and fat. And unfortunately, a lot of people on Ozempic have been reporting that they have drastic muscle loss, even with working out. That's where you start to become super weak and unable to do anything. And so I'm scared about that. And then there are a lot of people who've said, you know, now they're exercising. Like, that's the best part about it. If you lose weight, you feel better, you want to exercise more. So is it possible to come off of it because now your life has changed? Probably. But there's more stories, unfortunately, of people saying, I was eating well and exercising a lot, so we decided to come off the Ozempic and I didn't change my diet or exercise and I somehow gained all the weight back. And it's like, that's depressing. That's really hard to be on Ozempic, have changed your eating habits and started exercising more, come off this drug and gain your weight back. And like, that's what I want to ask this person is, from my understanding, this doesn't melt fat in your body. It quiets the conversation and the food noise and makes you not as hungry.
Right.
So you eat less. So how is it that if you're eating less and you swear that you stick with that diet and come off Ozempic, you gain all your weight back?
Right.
How is that? And is it that people are lying and that their diet, in fact, did not stay the same or their exercise did not? And that's the thing, like Ozempic quiets the food noise. So maybe you think you're eating the same diet when you come off of it, but you actually are snacking in between or you're having slightly
the
bigger.
Grazing comes back.
Because I don't quite understand how coming off of it and eating a low calorie, low fat diet causes you to gain all that weight back then. If you're sticking with that same barely eating diet.
I think it's the food choices. And like I said, I think it's the falling back into the habits of grazing, of still thinking you're not eating that much, but you are. A lot of people that I know or that I've seen who are on GLP-1s are not tracking their food. And I think that's a part of it too, is then when you come off the GLP-1, you think you're eating the same amounts, but are you tracking? Do you know that for sure? And I think, like we see a lot on social media, I don't think we're always getting the full picture. Like you said, maybe we're not quite getting the truth, getting the full story, because it doesn't make sense, right? So I think there's still so many questions out there about GLP-1s. I think, like we've said, they can be a phenomenal tool when used correctly.
Correct.
Zero judgment on anyone who uses them. It's not a thing that I personally will use, but that's just me. And who knows? I say that now, maybe 5 years down the road, who knows? But at this point in my life, not a thing for me. But if it works for you, if it fits into your lifestyle, if you're using it in conjunction with other healthy choices and you're making it a part of a healthy lifestyle, I think it's fantastic. But I think we have to be very careful with labeling things as an easy fix, a magic pill, and getting lost in that mindset and that slippery slope of, well, this is all I have to do.
Exactly.
If it were that easy, everybody would be skinny. Everybody would be skinny, right?
Yeah.
It'd be great.
And like, I want to know more about it because there is a world that maybe I'll go on it. But my only hesitation is I won't be on something for life. I just won't, because genuinely, I know it's been around for like 30 plus years and blah, blah, blah. But like, they never study these things on women. They never study them on women with certain medical like, sure, they've done studies, but I guarantee you it's been on men. Predominantly men, because that's how we've done all of our medical testing for years. There's a great book called Invisible Women that you should read that's all about how all the data and testing we have across advertising, medical, everything is predominantly done on white men. So there is a little bit of a concern for me about what actually is this going to be doing for long term for weight
loss.
And
there's always going to be information that doesn't come out and that you don't get, right? Like, I have glasses now permanently. I had beyond perfect vision for years, beyond perfect vision. And then we did our fertility treatments. And then a couple years later, my eyes got really bad. And I remember going to the eye doctor and she did my test. She looked at me, we were looking at my scans and my photos. And she said, I don't want to scare you, but the only time I've seen eyes get this bad this fast is cancer. She's like, so hold on, like, let's go through this again. And we went through everything and I was talking and I said fertility treatments and I kept going. And all of a sudden she went, whoa, 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 whoa. What did you say? And I said, fertility treatments. And she said, were you on like injectables? And I said, yeah. And she said, which ones? And I told her and she just looked at me and goes, bingo. And I said, what? She goes, massive eyesight deterioration as a long-term side effect. But that was never told to me. I never read it any, like, no. It was never made public. It was not one of the listed side effects. So even though there's some studies out there, do we really know the full picture? No. And when we say long-term, like, the definition of long-term in these studies can be very different too. So yeah, I have a lot of questions. I'm very curious. I think it'll be really interesting to talk about her journey, why she chose it, what she's seen. Does she have any regrets? What's worked well for her? What hasn't? What does she see in her future? I just think it'll be a really interesting conversation to hear her take on it because I know she's very open about it. And to see what she's thinking in her journey. I think she's a couple months, I want to say maybe 3-4 months in. It could be a little bit off, but a couple months in. So I'm very curious to see. And she's increased her dose a few times. So I'm very curious to see what her thoughts are and what she sees long-term with herself. And
that's what I want to know. Like, will they come off? Will they try? Is she one of those people that only eats once a day? There's a lot of comments about, oh yeah, I came off of it and I've been successful for 6 months off of it. I intermittent fast and eat one meal a day. That's also like just in pure transparency, not a life I want to really.
That sounds horrible to me.
I'm not going to be one of those people that only eats once a day and then comes off of a weight loss pill and is so fucking scared to gain weight that I just stop eating.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Absolutely terrible in my mind. So yeah, just curious. Also, it doesn't work for some people as well. There's some people who take it and it doesn't work. But the overwhelming response is that the food noise comes back. So you have to be like, you have to put your guard up when you come off of this and not give in to the food noise and the eating. So I almost think for me, it would be worse to go on this because if I did come off of it, I think, oh my God, no. Like, I'll just deal with the level I'm at now that I can handle. But I feel like if I went on it and then came off of it, that food noise would feel like it was amplified. And I, no, thank you. I also am very curious to see like yo-yo people going on it, losing weight, coming off of it, eating whatever they want, knowing that they can go back on it and just lose again. And then like, I don't know how that's going to be. And we know that's probably not good for our internal systems to yo-yo. But I think people see this as, well, I can do whatever I want and then hop back on it and drop the weight real quick and kind of come and go. So that's something that I'm interested in knowing about is that common? What is that like?
Yeah.
And then, do they think it's sustainable to be eating so little? Cause that genuinely is what worries me is that it's overwhelming at this point. It's not even like a few individuals. It's almost every single one of them we talk to or we see barely eating. And, I don't think that's sustainable. So, I mean, they look great and they look skinny as hell. And I kind of, are there days that I'm really envious because I kind of want to go on it and lose even more weight? Yeah. Right. But do I think it would benefit me? No. Do I think I need to figure out how to do this myself? Yes. But with that being said, as I turn the corner on looking at menopause down the road, sure, if my hormones started getting way out of whack and I started rapidly gaining weight due to menopause, or if I was on medication causing me to gain a substantial amount of weight, I would absolutely be calling my fucking doctor and saying, okay, let's do this because I can't lose the weight on my own at this point. It's a huge struggle. But the difference is I have a huge, like, it's a tool for me. I have a huge background of what I would know I need to do. So I would take this and continue my bariatric strength training, walking, eating, meal prepping, you know, like to go with it. But next week, two-part episode. We bring the guest on. We're going to ask her all these questions. So please, on social, let us know. What are your biggest questions about GLP-1s? What are your biggest misconceptions about GLP-1s? What concerns you about them? We want to make sure we answer and talk about everything you guys want. And maybe she can, you know, answer some of these things that we've talked about today and maybe put some of our concerns or fears to rest. But two-part episode next week. Guest on who is on a GLP-1 currently, and we're going to ask her all about it and see what she, you know, what she thinks, and we're going to ask the tough questions.
Love it. Can't wait.
I can't wait either. Like always, Steph, thanks for joining me, and for everybody listening, thank you so much. Stay tuned for part two next week.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.